The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to a public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of Mary, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. As we just heard, Matthew's account of Jesus' birth is quite sparse compared to Luke's version, which is the version we heard with the Sunday school this morning. There is only one unnamed angel who appears in a dream, not a great company of angels proclaiming the birth of Christ or singing glory to God from the sky. There are no shepherds, nor are there inns that are too full or a manger for Jesus' first bed. There's not even very much in that story about Mary. But one thing Matthew's narrative has that Luke's does not is a spotlight on Joseph, a man who will serve as a model of what it means to be faithful. But before I explain that further, I want to share a story. Last week, I received an email from a former student and advisee that I had been quite close to. The subject line read, "Quarter life crisis." Right, she's halfway to her midlife crisis, right? This is a student who came to Marist under the Higher Education Opportunity Program, which meant that she came from a high school that was underfunded, and her grades were probably not where they should be, and given normal circumstances, she probably would not have been accepted to Marist. But she came in this program, and she got to Marist, and she gave it all she had. She wasn't a straight-A student, but she graduated cum laude last summer with a degree in psychology and the dream of applying to physician assistant school to become a healthcare provider. Her plan was to take 1 year to gain more experience and take a couple of classes that she still needed to take to be able to get into PA school and then start PA school. But she is realizing now that her timeline was probably too ambitious. She needs to take these courses and she needs to get a lot of experience. That's just what's required of PA schools this year, these days. So she emailed because she was feeling defeated. Her dreams and her plans are not working out as she had always hoped they would. I can imagine that Joseph finding out that Mary was pregnant and it wasn't his child had a similar effect. all of his plans for the future were ending, or at least being put on hold. In those days, for those who aren't aware, being engaged was as legally binding as being married. It's not like engagements that we know of, especially in this country these days. Likely, there was a legal contract between Mary's father, who was, to put it quite bluntly, legally transferring ownership of his daughter Mary to Joseph. And the contract was between Mary's father and Joseph's parents, who were basically purchasing a wife for his son Joseph. This was how marriage happened. It was not about love and romance. It was about financial and cultural and social stability. As a righteous man, as said by Matthew, in other words, as a faithful and observant Jew, Joseph could not just pretend the baby was his, no matter how much he might have loved Mary. It would be expected that if he found out his betrothed was pregnant with a baby that was not his, he would make the situation known and divorce her. To not do that meant that his parents were being cheated out of their bride price. But he had also chosen not to publicly humiliate her, which would have been well within his rights as a wronged person. So he made up his mind, he had a plan, one that would satisfy the financial and legal expectations, but might spare Mary. Regardless, it still really upended his expectations of the future. Now, if thinking that Mary had been unfaithful threw a monkey wrench into Joseph's plans for the future, finding out that he was being called to raise the Messiah as his own son was an even greater upheaval, I would expect. It's an amazingly life-changing event to become a parent, even to find out you're becoming a parent. Imagine finding out that you are going to be the adoptive father of the Savior of the world. Even as destructive as all of this was, Joseph trusted the words from the angel that came to him in the dream, and he became the man that served as Jesus' father on earth. And it's so easy to get caught up in that story, the drama, who's the father, to wonder, is Joseph going to accept the angel's word? Are Mary and Jesus going to be abandoned and left to fend for themselves? Those who were able to stay for Bible study last week had all kinds of questions about the practicalities of being betrothed versus married. And later on, there are questions about Jesus' lineage. And there's no doubt that early followers of Christ had a similar fascination. If not, these stories would not have been included in the Bible. But Matthew has an interesting issue to resolve. If Jesus is God's son, not Joseph's, then how can Jesus be from the line of David? So remember, Jewish lineage was patrilineal. You were born into the house of your father. So whatever house your father belonged to, that is the house you belong to. You were not born into the tribe or the house of your mother. But Matthew has an interesting way to resolve this. And it's at the very end of what we heard this morning. And that is, Joseph names Jesus. And in that way, Joseph has adopted Jesus and has become his earthly father. Even more, by naming Jesus, Joseph has done all that the angel had asked him to do. These verses describe Joseph having the faith to follow the instructions of an angel in his dreams. Again, instructions that really seem to go against what his religious education and life had taught him. And his willingness to listen didn't stop there. He follows even more instructions from an angel in chapter 2 of Matthew when he takes another leap of faith, moving his little family to Egypt, saving Jesus from Herod the Great, who was the father of Herod Antipas, who allowed Jesus to be crucified and who killed John the Baptist. Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus tells us all that being a child of God, being a follower of Christ, will sometimes require us to make hard decisions, decisions that go against the norm, decisions that might bring major disruptions. Joseph was an eyewitness to God's actions in this world. The angels visited him. They instructed him. And he was open to what God was saying through these messages. We are also asked to look for God in this world and respond as Jesus did, to believe the message of God's love and faithfulness, and like Joseph, help to keep it alive in a world where this message is not always welcome. It is this message that Matthew is also trying to get across, that Jesus is the fulfillment of ancient prophecies and the embodiment of God's love. In addition to being a son of David, he is also the Son of God. He will be named Jesus because he will be the Savior of his people. And even more, he will be called Emmanuel because he is God with us. In a few short sentences, Matthew is laying it all out, trying to make clear who this Jesus is. Jesus' role as Savior cannot be separated from his identity as God with us. The name Emmanuel is directly from the prophecies of Isaiah, as we heard in our first lesson. Isaiah was able to see that life could be different for God's people. He could see that there could be a world where there was peace, a world with healing and wholeness, a world marked by true justice and equity. And the sign of that new world would be a baby. And it was Matthew, among others, who recognized Jesus as that sign and is trying to help us all to hear that story of Jesus and recognize it too. Jesus was born to be a Savior and to make known the true character of God, the character of love and forgiveness, and a desire for wholeness and reconciliation. We are called to hear this message and to be a sign to the world that God remains truly with us, full of love, powerful enough to conquer even death. Amen.